함께 들 Joy, unspeakable joy, it rises in my soul, never lets me go.
There would be no joy without Jesus. I'm so thankful that I've come to know the joy in serving the Lord. I have a hope. I have an understanding of a great opportunity that awaits all of those that respond to Jesus. Joy, unspeakable joy. Thank you, Jesus. Can we take a few moments and lift our hands and lift our voices? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Joy that only comes by you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't you clap your hands, Lord? He's worthy of praise. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. I do want to say a sincere thank you to all of those that helped in making last night our Christmas program a wonderful success. I know a lot of work went on behind the scenes, a lot of practice, a lot of preparation, putting things together, organization structure, putting just like tables and decorations and everything that went into making last night a grand event. Thank you so much. We had so many compliments from people that were here and just said what a wonderful program it was. We have another opportunity tonight at 6:30. It's going to be an encore performance of what took place last night. And so we want you to come and be a part of that. And I don't know about you. I told some others after it was over. It was one of the first times I can ever recall of the only part I basically had in it was helping to build and construct some of the props. And so when it came to the actual presentation, seeing what was happening, it was my first viewing as well. And I was more than pleasantly surprised. And I shouldn't say I was surprised, because I know the people that decided to do the work, and I knew it was going to be nothing short of special. And it was. And those that were here and viewed it had nothing but nice things to say, and so complimentary. So give you another opportunity tonight at 6:30. It's not a long program, about 45 minutes, but it's got a lot of variety. And it's got a lot of, it's got some singing, it's got some acting, it's got some, this big thing right here, like a shadow box, and it's real, real neat. Obviously, our platform doesn't look like this all the time. It's constructed in such a way to facilitate the program, but we were delighted at the showing, the response last night, and thank you all of those that, and there, so many people were involved. I would, if I tried to mention all the names, I would fail to mention somebody. So I'm just going to say, as pastor, I'm going to say big thank you. Big thank you. Why don't you give yourselves a hand for doing such a wonderful job. This morning at the conclusion of the message, we will give everybody an opportunity, if you would like. There's no pressure to do this. It's just something that we do every year about this time. Some weeks ago, there were those that took pledge cards to pledge to give certain amounts, a gift, if you will, to a program called Christmas for Christ. This program helps establish and keep going new works here in North America, and not only in the country of North America, or the continent of North America, but also here in the state of Illinois, the District of Illinois. And so we thank you for that. We've already had quite a few pledges turned in. But what we do at the end, and we'll make mention of this again, we put a manger down here up front and invite families. And it doesn't have to be just single families. It can be families that join together that come and pray around the manger. And I hope that what the Lord has laid upon my heart to preach this morning will kind of prepare the way for that, facilitate that. There will be a track playing in the background. And there will be no rush, no hurry. Just allow families to gather and pray together. And that will be the kind of the altar call, if you will, for this morning. And so we're just looking forward. I don't know about you, but I'm happy to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Good to feel the presence of the Lord this morning. If this is your first time here, we so welcome you here among us here at First Apostolic Church. Hope you feel welcome, and I hope you enjoy the presence of the Lord as you worship Him in liberty. And why don't you stand to your feet? You have your Bibles, and you would turn in them to Luke chapter number 2. I do apologize. Normally we have a brochure to hand out concerning upcoming events and things that are happening. We had some technical difficulties in being able to print it out, so we were not able to print it out. I know we normally hand that out on Sunday morning, and you all, so many of you, receive it by email, but just had some issues with it, but we'll try to get that resolved, and I promise you it'll be working better next year. So, thank you for your patience, your consideration in that. Luke chapter number 2. For many, a very familiar passage of Scripture around this time, and one that I hope to look at maybe a little bit differently you're hearing this morning. Luke chapter number 2. You're reading in verse number 1. Came to pass in those days, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Everybody say great with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. As I stated earlier, a very familiar passage of Scripture, especially this time of year. But I want to look at it maybe a little bit differently. I've simply entitled the message this morning, The Journey. The Journey. Can we pray? Lord Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you for the opportunity to be here in your house. We thank you for your presence that we feel in this place. God, we thank you, Lord, that we can come together, and as a body of believers, we celebrate this season, Lord, and we ask you, Lord, to open our hearts, open our minds to receive your word this morning, that we would be encouraged, uplifted, and strengthened by the words that we hear. God, that we would leave here edified in spirit, God, going forth to do your great work. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We magnify your precious name that is above every name, in the only saving name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. And everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. The journey. Often the focus of the Christmas story centers around the actual birth of Jesus Christ, and rightfully so. But I often wonder, what about some of the other events that surround the story? While there is some conjecture surrounding the traditional Christmas story in regard to the actual location, was it a stable, was it a house, was it a cave, etc., and even the timeline, was it actually in winter, was it spring or summer, there are some things that are specifically revealed in Scripture, and there are some things within the story that we might hastily pass in the hurry to get to the manger. things that are there written in Scripture, things that are we can understand by reading, things that there really is no conjecture about, things that actually happen. But when you read them initially, you may not understand some of the details, or you may not see beyond just the simple words on the page. I am the kind that I love to look at the Word of God as a living book. I love to research and study the Word of God, for I believe that within the pages of the Holy Writ, there is story within story within story within story. There are numerous things that are happening and numerous things that are going on as God, the Creator of heaven and earth, the one who has it all in His hands. He is orchestrating events and He is causing things to happen in such time as He sees fit in order for it all to fit in place. Only a God like Him could do what He does in the way that He does it, and it boggles my mind. Nevertheless, I love to look. I love that the Lord allows me to peer on occasion into some of those stories within the story. This service, I want to look at one of those stories within the story. Some things we might just miss in our rush to the manger. And while we might have considered these things before in this service, I will focus upon it. You see, I want to focus on the journey to the manger. I want to focus on what took place with this young couple. And from the story of the journey, I hope that we can find some strength from their struggle. We can find some comfort and encouragement that God always has it in His plan. And God always knows what He is doing. And though no doubt it must have frustrated young Joseph, and Mary must have wondered as to why these things were happening in the way that they were happening. But God knew. God knew, and the struggle, if you will, of this young couple and doing what they did on the days leading up to the birth of Jesus. And while I readily understand, according to the story, it probably didn't happen in the time that we celebrated. But if we could just think that we are in this time frame, if you will, and in the timeline that we celebrate Christmas, we are just a few weeks before the day. And so if we could maybe go back into that time and maybe think about what was happening, what was going on in the life of this young couple. What was happening as they found out that there was a decree made. As Joseph is preparing things and he's trying to get everything in order, and he's trying to make sure that everything's in place, and the cradle's over here, and the swaddling clothes are here, and he's making sure that things are in place, and Mary's going through that nesting phase where she's realizing that any day now it's going to happen. She's feeling some of the pains already, and she has in her heart and in her mind, I've got to get the house ready. I've got to make the preparations and make sure everything is just right. And if we were to look at the timeline and frame to where we are now, just a few weeks prior to what we celebrate the birth of Jesus, what was going on in their life? What were they doing? The Bible doesn't say very much. The Bible doesn't give us much in the way of understanding, but we can, from a natural perspective, understand some things that were happening. Joseph worried, am I going to be a good father? Am I going to be able to protect him? Am I going to be able to do what's necessary? This is a supernatural thing. I had an angelic visitation concerning taking Mary as my wife and being the father of this child that I know is the Son of God. And so there had to be some worry in the heart of Joseph as to whether he was going to be the adequate father that he wanted to be. And now comes a decree. Now it's brought to his attention that the whole world is going to be taxed. And now Joseph, just weeks prior, just maybe a few days, we're not really sure the timeline, but now Joseph understands he has to pack up his pregnant wife, great with child. And they have to make a journey from where he's at to the city of his birth and the place of his birth, where he has to pay taxes. There's never a good time for taxes. Now, Lord, I've been doing all I can do to make sure I've got some saved
I've done all that I could do to make sure I've made the adequate preparations, and now there's a decree, Lord. This is a miraculous birth. This is something that you have orchestrated. So why now? Why taxes now? Why must I take my pregnant wife, great with child? Why must I take Mary and go all the way back to the city of my birth? Folks, it wasn't a trip around the corner. Was somewhere in the neighborhood of 80 miles. It wasn't flat Illinois farm land terrain. It was rugged and mountainous and hills and valleys. Matter of fact, if you do a little research, you will find that the place where Joseph was with Mary there in Nazareth all the way to Bethlehem was 80 miles, and it was all uphill. There was 1,500 feet difference in elevation between Nazareth and Bethlehem. Come on, Lord. I know this is your doing, and I know that you have orchestrated all this, but taxes now? A journey now? 80 miles with a wife who is great with child? And I know the traditional Christmas story has Mary riding upon a donkey, but might I add, there is no biblical evidence that supports that narrative. There is nothing that tells us she could have. We don't know. What we do know is she made the journey. What we do know is this young couple starting out, this young couple who already had numerous odds stacked against them, this young couple now have to make an 80-mile journey uphill. I know it's getting to sound like one of those old stories that the parents say. Oh, I had to walk to school when I was your age. 10 miles in the snow, uphill on the way there and on the way back. Don't even know how that's possible. A journey. Now, when it would have been nice, and here's what I just have to believe. I don't know. I don't think Joseph was one who studied the messianic prophecies. I don't think he really understood what was happening. I don't think that Joseph thought to himself, well, we got to go to Bethlehem because that's where he's going to be born. No, Joseph was thinking, I got to go to Bethlehem because that's where I'm going to be taxed. I got to go to Bethlehem because there's a decree from Caesar Augustus. I don't think Joseph knew all the details behind what was happening. I don't know, and I really don't think that Joseph understood that what he was doing was fulfilling prophecy as he made his way. What I do know, if I do a little study and research in history, I will find this, that many times when there was a decree from the Roman government concerning money, the local constituents and governments would often use it as an opportunity to pad their own pockets. They would often use it as a time for themselves to collect taxes and tariffs and certain traveling fees. And it was an opportunity for them to profit from what was going on. We need to understand in that time, there was no middle class. There was simply an upper class and a lower class. And the upper class continually padded their own pockets at the poverty and keeping those in the lower class impoverished. So now, Joseph, by all accounts, we could probably say he was not a wealthy man. Joseph now has to take his wife, who is great with child, and make an 80-mile journey. So it is fitting, the Bible said, that Joseph went up. Joseph and his wife make the journey. They do so, probably not understanding all the implications of what they're doing. They're just following. They're just going and doing what they should do as subjects to the Roman government. They're just doing what they should do. And now Mary, who was great with child, is making this journey. You see, this is what I've come to know. And might I parallel it to us today? The journey, our journey, will often find us with some unexpected sacrifice. Some undue, if you will, hardships that we really don't understand. And we may question and we may ask, God, why now? Why is this happening now? Why am I having to do this now when all of this is culminating in my life and there's so many situations and circumstances that surround me? Why now? Why the added pressure? Why do I have to make the journey now to be taxed, to give money that I probably don't really have and pay all these fees that I probably have saved up for the care of a new child? Lord, why now? Might I say this, that in our journey in living for the Lord and our journey to have things birthed in our lives, there are going to be some unexpected sacrifices and cost. I fear and I shudder to think of how many preachers will walk to a pulpit this morning and will bypass the understanding and will simply skim over the reality that serving God, this journey with Jesus costs you something. This journey for the Lord is not without hardship. The Bible encourages us to endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And in this journey, living for the Lord, there will be sacrifice. Sometimes we won't understand why. Sometimes we may in frustration wonder why is it working out this way and why am I having to do this and go this extra mile and do these extra things? I really don't understand this, God. But if we would have the faith to believe, then maybe there's a bigger plan in work. Then maybe God knows exactly what He's doing and His hand is still in the process and He still knows what's going on. And so though I may not understand it, I can faithfully say in this journey with Jesus, Lord, let me be willing to pay whatever cost it is. Lord, let me be willing to do whatever's necessary to see Your will come to pass. You see, if they averaged just 15 miles a day, it would have taken them 5.5 days to make the journey. 5.5 days of travel. Travel is not without its own expenses. Travel's not without its own difficulties, especially for the woman who was great with child. I have to look at the journey, and I have to look at the story of Joseph and Mary, and I have to nod my head in appreciation. Oh, God knew what He was doing when He chose Mary and Joseph. God understood the heart of this young couple, that they are willing do and make this journey. And I don't really think they understood everything that was going on, but this we do know. They made the journey. You may not understand all the events surrounding what happened, what route they took, what way they went, but we do know this. They made the journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And the Bible says in verse 6, and it was so that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Now, here's something. The Bible says the days were accomplished. You see, many times in the story, and I know it fits well, and I know it makes the story run a little quicker and smoother, if you will, but many times it's depicted that they show up at the end, and they're turned away from the end, and then that night, that silent night, holy night, that night, Jesus is born. But the Bible says in many days, and the days were accomplished. So we don't know how long. We don't know how long it was. Maybe Mary thought, well, we can make the journey and pay the taxes and we can get back in time to have everything in order here at the house. But no, the Bible says the days were accomplished while she was there. We don't know how many days it was that they were there. We don't know how long they spent. We don't know. The Bible just says days, plural, were accomplished. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because, and this jumped out at me, something I never saw before. There was no room for them in the inn. Wait a second, I've heard that every year. What do you mean? You see, there's a two-word phrase there that kind of jumped at me that I never saw before. The Bible doesn't say there was no room in the inn. Bible says there was no room for them. Catch this. Joseph is going back to the land of his birth. Joseph is going back to where no doubt family and friends and relatives were to live. So So why are they not staying with relatives? Why does the Bible specifically say there's no room for them? Could it be that maybe the rejection they had experienced since the announcement of the birth, the rejection that Mary had had to deal with, trying to convince people that there was an angelic visitation, there was announcement of a birth, and that she was not bearing an illegitimate child? She was not a sinner, one who had committed the gross sin of fornication. I know there had to have been a lot of ridicule and mocking. The Bible lets us know that an angel himself had to come to Joseph and convince him to still take Mary as his wife, for that which conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. Joseph, it's okay. And what a man Joseph was. What a man to be willing to take that. And could it be that the reason why the Bible says there is no room for them is because there was probably room, but just not for them. Not for Mary and her, because you think expectant mother, who would not give up their place for a woman who is great with child? Who would not, what man in his right mind, what gentleman would not look on that situation and say within himself, well, she can have our space. They can have our space. It must have been that they saw something that seemingly was wrong in their heart and in their mind, and so they would not make the sacrifice. And so the Bible says there is no room for them. Here's the thing, here's the parallel, here's the understanding, here's bringing it home to you and I in this journey for living for God, in this journey of having Jesus birth in our lives and understanding more of His. In this journey, you and I will experience rejection after rejection after rejection. Sometimes the social circles will say, well, we do this and we do that, and they're God-fearing folks, so there's no room for them. They don't do what we do, and they don't live how we live, so there's no room for them. I know I've been there when people understand, and they look at me as a Bible thumper and a religious person, and they're talking in their groups, and then I walk up, and the conversation begins to wane. Well, and then all of a sudden I realize there's no room for me in that conversation. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying, I just this morning, I want us to take a few moments and focus on the journey to the manger and understand that the journey that this young couple experienced, Mary and Joseph, is akin to our own journey in living for the Lord. Obstacles that we will face. It will be long and tiresome times, and yes, there will be inconvenient cost and sacrifices in our life, and yes, it will seem like many times it's all uphill, and it's not smooth walking, and it's treacherous terrain, and many times we will want just somebody to offer us some comfort and some help in the midst of our journey, but there will be no room for us in the area. But we need to understand, wait a second, there's coming a point and an event in life, the greatest event in human history, I might add, where there's going to be born to this woman and this man a child wrapped in swaddling clothes, this Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. So in the midst of this journey, it's tough, it's treacherous, it's long, and I'm weary, tired, want some place to rest, but yet there's no room for me. And I, in this walk, in this journey with Jesus, I need to understand, wait a second, I can't hang my head, I can't be upset. Maybe, just maybe, there's a bigger plan at work. Maybe, just maybe, God is still orchestrating all this. I don't think Joseph really understood that when that baby was born and it was wrapped in swaddling clothes, that that entrance as a baby was foreshadowing his exit as a man. I don't think you really understood all the implications, but what I do think is that Joseph was a willing vessel, and Joseph was a willing person to say, I may not understand it all. I may not understand all the implications of the journey, but guess what? I'm willing to keep going until such time as God says it's over. Closing, you can rise to your feet. See, in reality, all these obstacles and seeming setbacks were just bringing them closer to a destiny. All of these things that happened, the journey that brought unexpected sacrifice, the journey that was long and uphill, the journey that was wrought full of rejection, the journey. Maybe he's even kinsmen and relatives rejected him and said, no, you can't stay here. Joseph, I gotta maybe put myself in the story a little bit and think of the birth of our three children and how, especially with the first one, how unsure I was. And I know some of you think back to when your first one was born and question, do I have everything in order? Is everything in place? Am I going to be able to have everything I need to have? And I remember checking the bug out bag a couple times, you know, the one that you got already and everything was there, and asking, is this in there? Are we ready? Do we have bottles? Do we have everything that we need? Because when that time comes, he's not going to wait for us to get everything ready. It's going to happen, and we got to be ready. And myself, man, Joseph, you hit the curveball with ease, bud. Man, you did a great job. Unexpected changes all of a sudden. A decree from Caesar Augustus himself, and now a journey. And now it's long and it's tiresome, and you get to the place and you're hoping maybe you'll find some hospitality, but no. Rejected. Yet you keep on. And your wife, who is great with child, she's bearing the burden of the world, if you will. You, though you meet obstacle after obstacle after obstacle, you keep going in the journey. Joseph, I tip my hat to you, sir. Mary, I'm amazed by you, ma'am. Wow, God really knew what he was doing. And God really knew who he was choosing. Sir, it's struggling. Ma'am, that you're weary. Maybe God still knows what he's doing. Maybe God has a bigger plan. And I know it may seem like an obstacle right now. And I know the journey may seem rough. And I know there may be some unexpected things that happen and some surprises along the way. But just keep in the journey, because prophecies are being fulfilled. As Joseph and Mary are making their way to the city of Bethlehem, there's a star that's becoming bright. There's something that's happening in the heavenlies. There's angels that are getting ready. And I know we have the angels singing to the shepherds. The Bible doesn't ever say they sung. Maybe they did, just that they announced. But I believe they were getting ready. And as Mary and Joseph are making their way on the journey, maybe, allow me some liberty, maybe, just maybe, there's an angelic host looking down heaven. Yes, Joseph, keep going. It's going to happen. Look, he's headed to Bethlehem. The prophecies, it's going to happen now. We're about to have the opportunity to go down to find those shepherds on the hillside and make a proclamation that born to you this day in the city of David is a Savior. which is Christ the Lord. Go and see. I don't know about you, but when I think about the manger, I don't want to miss some things in a hurry to get there. And when I come here this morning with my family, I don't want to just think about the birth of Jesus in my life and me coming to God. What I want to think about is the journey. And Lord, thank you for the journey. Even though it's tough sometimes, and even though there's unexpected sacrifice, and even though I deal with rejection, Lord, let me be willing to keep walking, because maybe, just maybe, I'm fulfilling some prophecy. Maybe, just maybe, there's a bigger plan in store. So this morning, as we gather together with family around the manger, and we think about the birth of Jesus, I want us to think about the journey. No, it may not be all good. I know it's not. I want us to thank God for the journey. Lord, thank you for the tough times. They've built character in my life. I thought, you know, one of the things that they told us when we first went, first surprise, we think he's coming. My wife and I made our way to the hospital, and we had that discouraging news. Well, not quite. Not ready just yet. You know what they told my wife to do? Walk some. Mary, you could, you know, 80 miles may be a little much. Uphill. Lord, guess what? They did it. They did it. They made their way. They made the journey. And so this morning, my appeal to you as pastor is be willing to make the journey. Be willing to face the unexpected sacrifices. Be willing to make the long trek. Be willing to transverse the rugged terrain. Be willing to deal with the rejection, because ultimately a great event is ready to take place in your life. And there, I believe the Bible says, we have a great cloud of witnesses. Whew. Cheering us on, saying, keep going. The journey's worth it. Keep going. Keep putting one foot in front of the other. You're fulfilling some prophecy. Some things are happening. God has still got it all in his hands. Can we lift our hands and thank the Lord for the journey? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If someone could make the way downstairs and allow the children to come up, we want them to be with their families. We want them to have opportunity to pray. And as we lift our hands and begin to pray and thank God for the journey, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I know it sounds weird, but thank you for the unexpected sacrifice and the cost. Thank you, Lord. It makes me cherish the journey that much more, God. Thank you for the rugged terrain, Lord. It helps me cherish the times when it goes smooth. Lord, thank you for the rejection that I deal with, for it makes me a stronger person to realize that living for you is worth it, Lord. Whatever needs to be birthed in my life, Lord, help me be willing to do it. Help me be willing to make the sacrifice and do what is necessary to make the sacrifices in my life necessary. And in the midst of it all, to enjoy the journey. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the example we have in Mary and Joseph. Thank you, Lord, that they were willing to face the unexpected obstacles. They were willing to make the long trip, God. They were willing to make the sacrifices necessary in this season. We celebrate a great event in human history, the birth of Jesus Christ our Lord. And we thank you, God, for people willing to make the journey. And we ourselves stand in this place in appreciation for the sacrifices made before us. And Lord, let us, with the same heart and mind, be willing to make the journey with you. Hallelujah. God bless you for standing. You may be seated.
few moments as the children make their way upstairs. We're going to begin to play a track. If you brought your offering, your pledge card, feel free to put it here in the manger. If you'd like just to give a regular offering, that's fine too. This is not a requirement by any stretch. This is simply something that if you would like to do, we want you to have opportunity. I'm going to ask my family if they would come. We'll go first and then families to follow after that point.
Love incarnate, love divine, star and angels gave the sign. Bow to babe on bended knee, the Savior of humanity. Unto us a child is born, he shall reign forevermore. No.
Starlight in a mother's eye. Suffering.
Stand. I was thinking as I watched different individuals make their way to the manger and begin to think how the journeys are all different and yet they're all the same. Journeys may be different in circumstance or situation or who's there with us in the journey or who's not with us in the journey. But reality is all journeys are going to have sacrifice. All journeys are going to at times be tough. And all journeys at times are going to deal me my share of rejection, if you will. But all, it's worth it. It's worth it. We had opportunity to ask Mary and Joseph, was it worth it? I feel they would say, oh yes. Oh yes, it was worth it. I don't know that they understood everything that went on, but this, I do believe they understood something great, something of wonderful significance is taking place, and we have an opportunity to be a part of it. As I look, as I watch those walk and pray together, I thought to myself, I have such an opportunity to be a part of something so great and significant, the journeys of my brothers and my sisters. How wonderful, Lord. One more time, why don't you lift your hands, lift your voice. Thank you, Jesus. We honor you, Savior. We thank you, God, for your goodness, your mercy, your grace, God. The journey, God, coming to you. We love you, we praise you, we thank you. How wonderful you are. How wonderful you are. Hallelujah. One more time, why don't you applaud the Lord this morning? He's worthy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you have opportunity this evening, we welcome you. Come back and be a part of the Christmas program taking place here at 6:30. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. You may go in Jesus' name.